One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the haunted trails of Gettysburg and the Rainworth Lodge. Gettysburg is unquestionably one of the most haunted places in the United States and certainly in Pennsylvania. If you want to encounter the paranormal, chances are you will encounter something in this historical town known for the fiercest Civil War battle. But when you're at Gettysburg, you can also encounter spirits outside at Haunted Trails of Gettysburg and inside at the Rainworth Lodge. Today, we'll talk about the paranormal in Gettysburg, inside and outside, with the owner of Rainworth Lodge, Daniel Bonner, and the owners of 10 acres of haunted trails, the Haunted Trails of Gettysburg, Terry and Amanda Thomas. Terry and Amanda, you're married, and you have the Haunted Trails there of Gettysburg, correct? You have a piece of property?
Yes, that's correct.
It's pretty large, isn't it? Did I read it's like 8 acres or more? Is it more than that?
Yeah, we just had a survey done. It's 10 acres now.
So that's a pretty big piece of property there. And then, Daniel, you live about 4 miles away from them, and you own the Rainworth Lodge.
Yes, ma'am.
And the Rainworth Lodge, it was originally, I'm assuming, built as a family dwelling?
It was originally a two-story log cabin. And then the outside that you see when looking at photographs is actually an add-on done by Oscar Shaw back in the 1930s when he bought the property.
When you look at pictures, it does definitely look like it does not go back to the 1700s.
But originally, that's what it is. What you're seeing is that the add-on to the cabin.
It's built on the same site, and so you probably have some of the original building.
Oh, yes. The cabin, it's when you're inside the cabin part, you still see the exposed log. That's from the 1740-50 time period. And you can still see all that. If you go into the attic, you can still see now the roof up there. I don't know how old that is, but you can still see it's an old shingle shaker roof that they did back then. And it's actually under the new roof. So you can still see that.
With living in Kansas, you know, we weren't even a state until the 1860s. So when buildings go back to the 1700s like that, we don't have anything like that where I live.
same thing in Texas. That's where we're from. So it was a whole new thing coming up here and buying this place.
What led you to buying the Rainworth Lodge?
Ultimately, we were just looking for a historical home, just intrigued by them. I was up actually investigating in Ohio and planned to come to Gettysburg just to come by. I'd never been to Gettysburg. On the way here, I looked on one of my old house sites that has properties for sale. They had one. I called about it. It was sold. So I just decided to look on a realtor site. I typed in 100 years or older homes. That property popped up. I went straight to it. And before even going inside, I let the realtor know, look, I can tell you by the pictures and everything, we're going to buy the property. And really? Just did a quick walk around. Within 2 weeks, I had the keys to the property. But it was definitely one of those, felt drawn to it once finding it. I was not going to let it go.
Did you move there then, or do you still live in Texas? And
we stayed in it we bought it back in October last year, and we stayed in it through the winter. And then we listed it on, Verbo, the vacation rentals spot, back in May. So we haven't been living in there since then.
Now I'm going to ask, and we're going to get into this in more detail in a little bit, but when you stayed there, did you feel like you were alone? Did you feel like there was some activity in the house? But
that is not possible in that home. You're going to feel some kind of presence, some kind of energy, at least. You'll feel it. And we absolutely felt it.
And I want to dive into that in just a little bit. Now, Terry and Amanda, you bought a home with all of this acreage there. And Terry, what drew you to that property, and how long have you lived there?
We've lived here for 5 years. We've owned it for six. We moved here from Detroit. I was hurt at work, and Amanda had been watching the property. We had came to Gettysburg for our honeymoon and fell in love with Gettysburg. We came out here probably twice a year after our initial coming out. And she had watched this house on one of the sites for at least 2 years. And the price kept dropping and dropping. Well, after I got hurt and had my surgery on my neck, the price had dropped substantially. So we came out and we took a look at it. I'd met a realtor out here. He was a good friend. And when we pulled up, he kept telling us, the house has been on the market for years and I can't sell it. People are walking up. They're getting sick. They can't even make it to the front stairs. We walked in and it felt like home. It was so greeting to us. It had to have a lot of work. And it took me a year coming back with friends from Detroit every weekend to make it livable for the family to move in.
So other people were looking at the property and just physically reacting to it in a negative way. And the two of you are like, we're home. Isn't that interesting?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
The house chose us.
Yep.
I believe they do. And one question I want to ask all of you, and I'm going to start with Amanda. You know, all of us have one big connection here in this conversation is we're all interested in the paranormal and things that are unexplained. So, Amanda, how did you get interested in it? Was that something you're drawn to?
Yeah, actually, since I was a kid, I used to experience stuff as a kid all the time. I used to hear things, see shadows and stuff like that as a kid. And unfortunately, growing up, my mom, was kind of scared of whatever it was that I had. And she would always just say that it was my imagination. And so I kind of like stopped believing in it all for many years. And then when we lived in Detroit, we were actually coalition members for a historic fort. And we did ghost tours there. So when we did the ghost tours, then I started getting back into the paranormal. And then it just, I guess, awoken whatever what was inside of me. And now I get flooded with the paranormal stuff now. So I think I've always had maybe some kind of gift. I believe I've had a gift since I was little. I've opened it up even more now living here.
Oh, I bet. And, I get it, too, because a lot of parents don't know how to deal with that. And it's easier to say, oh, it's your imagination. rather it is, how do you address that? How do you have that conversation with a child?
And I think my mom was really scared of it because I'm sure she knew that really was seeing stuff and hearing stuff. And I also had a near-death experience as a baby, and they say that that can also open up the doorway to people having more paranormal activity and experiences. So that also could have played a role in everything.
Do you find living where you live now, does it get overwhelming for you? A lot of things coming in?
Yes, yes, actually. More so with my husband, he can feel that I've learned to filter it a little bit better than him, but I will have to leave the property and the home to recharge my energy and then come back, because there is so much energy here. It does drain us. So, we definitely have to leave sometimes for a couple of days, like a little vacation or something, you know, to get away to recharge our energy for sure.
And Terry, what is your background? What drew you? Is that something that goes way back as well?
No, actually it was my wife. And then when we bought the property, the first night that I came out here by myself to work on the house, I called her about 2 o'clock in the morning, and she kept asking, why am I here in the expressway, which is right next to the property? I go, because I'm sleeping in the car. And she says, what? And I go, there's people talking in there and I'm here by myself. There's things moving, doors are opening and stuff. I'm not sleeping in the house. So for the first, I'd say 4 or 5 days, I literally slept out my car.
Whoa. So were you more of a skeptic going into it, or kind of interested in it, but hadn't really had experiences?
Always been interested, but a major, major skeptic. And the more that I opened up myself to it, I remember I spent 6 years in Central and South America. And during one of our missions, we camped at one of the Mayan ruins. And I remember all of our perimeter alarms going off, and looked up on one of the pyramids there, and here it looked like people walking around up there. Well, the sergeant that was in charge sent us up to the top of the pyramid, and there was nobody up there. So I look back now and I say, yeah, that's my first real experience with the paranormal.
And you definitely have them these days.
You know, and I just don't say it. It's an everyday occurrence here. You know, I mean, it can be the smallest thing to the biggest thing in the world.
But pretty much every day?
Every day.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
At times I wish it was a on and off switch, but there's not.
I bet. Really. And Daniel, you said that you were looking to buy a place. Now, is that because? Were you particularly, because you wanted an older place, were you kind of wanting a haunted place that had activity?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. That's exactly, because I'm an avid investigator, as is before then, paranormal investigator. So I'm always going out to haunted locations and doing solos out there 3-4 nights, staying on in the building and everything, that kind of ghost hunter. So, yes, I was absolutely looking for a, I would assume, active location, especially with being that old.
And him staying here now on the property.
We got an RV on this property.
He's learning about the haunted trails. Very
much. Yeah, we have an RV set up here right beside their house, and we're having our freezer door slamming open, flinging open and slamming against the door. And try to keep my wife from going into our bedroom last night. So needless to say, it's the property. And it will come into your RV, your tent, if you're camping out here, and have a little fun.
So you're in your RV and that sort of thing is happening.
Yes.
Because, you know,
we have a very malicious little girl that's buried on the property, and she loves to get into everything.
So you think it's her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, we lived in a haunted house. And to me, running outside was where I felt safe. I just would want to get out of the house. And once I got outside, that feeling went away. But that wouldn't happen there.
No.
You'd run Never. Outside and run right into it.
I'm an ex-police officer. And let me tell you right now, there's times that I look out at the woods at night and she'll ask me to go out to the woods and do something. And I look and I say, nope, yeah, I'm not going out there until the morning.
Oh, no. So, Daniel, when you first went in, because you got that feeling right off the bat, you knew that was what you wanted. You said within 2 weeks you've closed and it's your house.
Yes.
So when you went in it, did you sense it right away?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not the one that senses energy at all. I usually don't. When I go to these haunted locations, I don't feel the actual energy presence too much. I will at certain, like first going into it. But other than that, I won't feel something and know something's about to happen kind of situation. But even when I stepped into that house, oh, I could feel it immediately.
Well, and with that history. So I want to dive into both of these places about historically what you know about the land. So I want to start with the trails in your property, Terry and Amanda. When you think about Gettysburg, obviously we go right to the Civil War. There was a lot of trauma on that land. A lot of horrific things happened, a lot of death. But it even is more than just the Civil War. When you think about what's happened on that land and you go back to Indigenous people and, you know, it goes way back. So what do you know about that property?
So,
Terry,
what has helped us out a lot was Adams County had really helped us when we were trying to find out all the history. Plus, the next door neighbor is the great-great-grandson of the last owner. And then the original Sanders, who built the house in 1830, their descendants live about four or five houses down. So we were covered when it came to history. We know during the Battle of Hunterstown, which was the second day of the Battle of Gettysburg, that the house and the barn were used for a field hospital and an encampment by Wade Hampton for the Confederacy. We, as of right now, I've metal detected over an acre of the property, and dug over 300 artifacts.
Wow.
Now we also know that the expressway next to us was one of the most deadliest expressways, in the country. And this was back in the 70s and 80s. It was so bad that they would take the fatality cars and weld them on top of poles to show people. And it went for over a mile.
Oh, now, that's just gruesome.
Yeah.
I can't imagine seeing that.
Right. Yeah. And then the more, and I've been studying history for years. I love history. I found out that out in this area, there was a tribal war with the indigenous people. And the tribal war, they state that they believed that there was more death in that than there was in the Battle of Gettysburg.
In Battle of Gettysburg, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. You probably do, but it was a horrific battle.
56,000 were killed, which I believe was more than that.
See, and I can't even wrap my brain around that.
No.
Because when you think about that, and I don't like to think about it too deeply because it's so bothersome, but you know, it's not like people were just shot and they just, boom, they died. You know, a lot of people laid there. There was nobody coming to help them. They had nowhere to take them. There just wasn't any resources.
I have metal detected bullets with the teeth mark in them where they would bite down on the bullet to have an amputation done.
Which they were doing right on the field because...
Right on the field.
You know, they didn't have any place for them to go.
Nope. I just read an account where they believe that every structure in and around Gettysburg at the days following the battle... ended up all being field hospitals.
Had to have been. In a field hospital, it sounds like it, I mean, it really isn't. It's people's homes. They're bringing people in and basically removing a limb or triaging what they can.
Yeah, we've been in houses here where you can see the holes that they drilled in the second floor just to let the blood drain down to the first floor because they had so many bodies up in there.
I just can't even wrap my brain around that. So your property, obviously haunted, but the house as well.
And yes.
Now you mentioned a little girl. So who do you think she might be? Do you have any information on her?
Yes. Her name is Mary. She has a marked grave out here. She passed away at the age of 2 days old in 1900. Now, when she comes through to us, she comes through, we would approximate probably around 8 years old. She loves to joke. She does not like anything on top of her headstone. If you set something on her headstone, it is knocked off. And we've literally had people out here doing investigations. One lady sat a doll on it, and that doll just lifted right up and went right in front of the tombstone.
And actually, Daniel's little girl, she was in our house one day, and she seen Mary in our living room. She said, "Amanda, there's a little girl playing in the living room." And I was talking to her, and I was like, "Yeah, that's Mary." Yep. And his daughter is very, very, well, all his kids are very intuitive. But his one daughter, I think she sees them and stuff. So, yeah. And I think Mary's happy that they're here. She's got someone to, like, maybe put, you know, some jokes on and just kind of play around with some little girls. So,
I mean, she's come through on some of the lives that Amanda does. Every Christmas, Amanda goes out to the two known graves out here, and takes little gifts out there. And one of the videos on the website, we're walking away and I'm joking with her. And all of a sudden you hear what sounds like a young child, and it says, "Hi, Dad." And it's clear as day.
That gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's on her website too. Yeah. I mean, the video, yeah, it's very, very profound. We didn't hear it until after we watched it. And that's how they sometimes will come through. You know, you won't hear it at the time, but then you play back a Facebook Live or something, and you get a voice. So, but the thing is not only the Civil War or Indigenous or car accident victims, people's own loved ones have come through to them out here as well.
By loved ones, we're talking people who aren't even connected with the property, correct?
Yep. See, it's happened a lot. Yep.
And I'm going to kind of bounce back and forth between you guys. So we're going to get back to trails and more hauntings. I want to hear about that, obviously. Absolutely. But Daniel, tell me about your place. Let's dive into that history a little bit of the Rainworth Lodge.
Okay. So the earliest history that we know of right now is when Hans Hamilton owned the place. And Hans Hamilton was a de facto leader of the Ulster settlement at Marsh Creek, there, right there in the middle of Gettysburg. That was before it was ever named Gettysburg, where it was ever Gettysburg. He built, I can't say that he built the cabin. We don't know, like, it has to have been, because it was the way it's sounding from the Historical Society is, I want to say his whole family actually lived in the cabin. And that's where we're getting the dates, around 1740 to 1750. The deed book is messed up. They're having issues with the deed book. And they had to go through what's called the Manor of Mask. That's when they, I guess, divvied out certain properties out here. And so that's where we know that Hans Hamilton had the property and built the cabin. And like I said, he was a de facto leader of Marsh Creek. They actually have a township named after him right down the road in Gettysburg, Hamilton Bond Township. He was also a leader during the French and Indian Wars. Sounds like he was a brutal dude, pretty much. He was just a military man all around. And after he had the property, I think he passed it down. Well, we know he passed it down to his daughter, Sarah Hamilton. And she had the property during the war. And during the Civil War, we know that General Rhodes had marched down from Carlisle and actually encamped the property. And they had held a 17-year-old boy that was a blacksmith hostage and forced him to shoe horses for the Confederacy. That blacksmith shop is still there on the property. It's now a red shop there. But the boy, while he was held captive, he overheard the Confederates talking about forcing him to go with them once they left Gettysburg. And he said, nope, and was able to escape. and got away. He actually joined the Union during the Civil War after that happened. And once the Civil War was over, he came back and was practicing blacksmith out of that shop still.
Oh, that's interesting. He ended up coming back to the place he was held hostage.
Exactly, exactly.
Doesn't usually happen like that.
Nope. But yeah, he escaped, joined the Union, and he came back. He survived the war from there on out, came back, continued being a blacksmith on the property.
There has to be, you know, a lot of families, because we're talking 300 and, I mean, a long time,
yep.
years. So there has to be so much history that goes with the house. But then, you know, like you're talking about, it's hard to find the deeds because, you know, things happened. It's pieces of paper.
Yep. And that's where I think out here on their property, they were able to go back on y'all's deed books. It was pretty good and maintained.
Yeah, we know that prior to the house being built, it was owned by the Baltimore Farm Bureau. That's the place that divvied up everything. We know that when it was built, it was a 550-acre.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing on our property. Our property, I have to look back to see. But it was over 500 acres, same thing at one point. And it dwindled down to the 3 acres it is now.
500 and some acres is a lot. I have a half acre, and it's everything I can do to keep it mowed. I'm just telling you.
Come out here and stay on 10 acres.
I couldn't do it. So, Daniel, do you have any idea? And of course, it's just speculation, but do you seem to have some spirits that regularly appear or some common things that happen?
Absolutely. When I bought the property, the previous owner told me about two of the spirits that have it there that they've seen full manifestations of, two little girls. One is, I think he said was about anywhere from 15 to 18 years old. And then there's a little girl there that looks to be about 5 to 8 years old. I have not seen the little girl or any apparitions yet like that. I've seen shadow figures finally recently, but I had not seen the little girl or the older teenage girl. The neighbors across the street, I was coming back from Texas one of these trips, and the house had sat alone for about 4 or 5 days, but I was coming back. I didn't have our babies with us, so it was just me alone. I'm flipping the lights on. The neighbors across the street said they could see me going inside what is called the mud room. And in the living room part, this is before we had curtains up, they were able to see a little girl in the living room. They just assumed that it was one of my daughters. It was so vivid, so clear to them. They didn't even second guess it being an apparition. It was full formed. But they said there was a little girl there. And when I would walk to the mudroom, she would follow behind me. I didn't see her. They did, though. And that was something that was reported to us by the previous homeowner. So that's definitely still taking place. Another thing I personally hadn't experienced yet, but we had a guest here recently staying there tell us that they could smell very strong cigar smoke. And that was another thing that the previous owner told us that happens.
And to me,
shadow figures.
Yeah, cigar smoke, cigarette smoke, pipe smoke, they're such distinctive smells. And it seems to be pretty common, you know, in hauntings, because I think that's a way you can just, like, you can walk in and it just hits you.
And yes, and that's exactly how they explained it happened.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Shadow figures marching down the road. That was reported to us by the hotel guests that stay across the street, that they can see these shadow figures marching in front of our house. One of the guests a couple of weeks back that was staying here, they were outside in the backyard, I think early morning, like 4 a.m, smoking a cigarette. And she saw these shadow figures marching along the road. Her dog, that's an older trained dog that does not bark at all, was just going berserk at the fence line. And she didn't tell her husband about that. But after they left, her husband's telling her that at 6 or 7 in the morning, he's out the front door smoking a cigarette by the road or out the front, but looking at the road, and he could see shadow figures walking and marching right there. So they correlated their stories, and they couldn't believe it. They were so excited to tell us about it. But their dogs, same thing, well-mannered dogs would react bizarre inside the house, staring at a closet door, growling, going up to the stairs. None of the dogs would ever go upstairs, but they'd go to the bottom of the stairs, look up, kind of whimper and growl a little bit. But they wouldn't go up.
Yep.
We
pay attention to those pets. They always can pick up on stuff.
Oh, yeah. Me and Amanda were there at his place a couple weeks ago, just me and Amanda. And as soon as she turned on the kitchen lights, they just kept flickering and flickering and flickering.
And then I asked them, I said,
can you stop?
Can you stop flickering the lights? And they stopped right away.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do it for the lights didn't flicker. So we called him right away. we were helping
him. Took a video.
Hold on. And I didn't tell them, though, the guest that had just left before them was sending me messages telling me that she was so thankful for the house, so thankful for all the activity. And she said about orbs, I think door opening, closing, and the lights. And we hadn't experienced anything with the lights yet, but apparently she did. I didn't tell them about this. So when they told me what just happened with them and they told the lights to stop and it stopped, that's when I told them about the message I just received a little bit before then.
Yeah. We were pretty blown away. And I just, it seems, I don't know, wherever I go, it seems like they follow me or I just enhance it. I'm not really sure, but yeah, that was really cool. Cause I mean, I told them to stop and you know, they stopped and they didn't flicker anymore the rest of the time we were there. So
we can't even go on vacation. Cause we went on vacation a couple of years ago and one of her spirits out here following us to the hotel.
No.
I guess I'm a magnet, I guess. A lot of people have said that about me. I'm a magnet for them or something. That, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
You really need to get in the habit, Amanda, of trying to be like, I'm running to the store. Y'all got to stay here.
Do not follow me.
You guys are perfectly welcome here, but we need to get away. We're going to go away for a weekend. Please stay here. Give us a break.
Absolutely.
I hate to say it, but Walter, one of the more powerful spirits out here, he will not leave Amanda's side.
Yeah, I think he watches over me or something. I've been told that a lot about a lot of the spirits. They watch over me.
Now, because I was reading Walter, he was a Confederate soldier, and he's also buried on. Is he one of them that's buried on the property?
Yes.
Probably he likes Amanda, I'm going to guess, because she's a woman. Maybe there's a little jealousy.
He was only 20 years old.
That just breaks my heart when you think about that. Yeah. Just kids. Do you sense him inside the house and outside the house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Both inside and out. Yeah.
You host these trails. Like, it's a Haunted Trails of Gettysburg. And you take people out into the trails. Or do they explore on their own?
So what we do is my husband will give the history of our property. And then from there, we show them the two marked graves and what we believe to be like the hot spots out in the woods and on the trails. And then we let people investigate themselves. And then we'll either take them into the cellar before the trails for like a half hour or an hour, or after. We kind of let people choose themselves, you know, how they want to do it.
It's so more hands-on.
Yeah, it's more hands-on. So we're letting people do their own investigation. Because I want that for people. I want people to experience stuff themselves out here. And I try to empower people, you know, because everybody really has gifts, you know, and so I like to see what people feel and get out here themselves.
And speaking of the cellar, is that where you and Terry are right now? in the cellar,
yes,
right?
Yes, and Daniel. we're all three down here.
Oh, all three of you are down there. Is this like a normal hangout? Do you have a bar down
and
there?
Actually, yeah, I mean, we do. We will sometimes come down here and do little investigations,
and,
yeah.
And as we're sitting here now, me and Daniel are looking at each other because little pebbles in the back of the cellar and at the original part of the house, we can hear pebbles being thrown back there.
Really?
I heard a voice, and this was way, like, pretty much right when we started this, I heard a voice over there. I look at Terry, but he didn't. You weren't looking at me. I didn't want to disturb because you were talking. But yes, I heard a voice. Yep, it's happening.
Yeah, so they're walking around behind us right now.
Is this one of those like dug out cellars? I'm trying to visualize it.
The original part, yes, is dug out. It's cobblestone walls and a gravel floor. And then what holds up the house is all the original trees from the 1830s.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, still has the bark on them and everything. You can see where they hand-honed everything to fit the wood together and all that.
And is the cellar separate from the house?
Nope.
It
connects to the house. Yep.
And so if you're hearing voices down there as we're doing this, having this conversation, and hearing pebbles being thrown, I'm assuming this is a pretty hot spot for activity.
Oh, yeah.
What do you pick up down there, Amanda?
See, now I get drained a lot down here. It takes a lot of my energy. Sometimes, like right now, I'm picking up the energy of stick. With me, I more so don't see them. I pick up the energy fields from them. So I will get like goosebumps or I will feel them. Sometimes they touch me. They do like to touch me a lot.
Down here, yes.
Yeah, they'd like to touch the back of my hair. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't scare me or anything. I've just gotten used to it. They're just trying to get my attention, I know. And then I also receive telepathic messages from them from the other side. It's not like an on and off switch. It just kind of happens randomly. I will get messages. I believe that there's two energy vortexes out here on my property. I believe one is in the cellar and one is on my property. There's a ley line from Gettysburg to Mount Holly. And I think that Gettysburg itself could be a big energy vortex. I'm not really sure, but just because of the paranormal activity and other weird stuff that happens in Gettysburg.
Crystals everywhere.
And crystals everywhere. I mean, it's just, people come here and a lot of people experience the weird energy here. People pick up on that. I mean, people have come from all over the world to come here, and people that have come out here on my tours, that they'll say that not only about my property, they say that about Gettysburg in general. So I'm not sure if it's some kind of geological thing or frequency thing. I'm not really sure, but there's a lot going on in Gettysburg.
A lot of bloodshed.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the haunted trails of Gettysburg and the Rainworth Lodge. In part two, we'll talk more about the hauntings and the spirits who are still there. If you'd like more information, visit the hauntedtrailsofgettysburg.com. And you can get information about staying at the Rainworth Lodge on their Facebook page. Just search Historic Rainworth Lodge. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free. Or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.